All right, our agenda is here. Today on the agenda, we've got a discussion about where the Credentials Working Group Charter is going and the Web Payments Interest Group. We've had a bump in the road as far as that's concerned, so we need to talk about that. Second up on the agenda is a recruiting document, but unfortunately, I don't think Joe Kaplan or Brian are on the call today. They're working on that. We've got an update on the Credential Management API and where that discussion's going, and then use cases. I've seen Nate doing quite a bit of work on use cases over the past 2 days, so we'll need an update on that. Any other updates or changes to the agenda? Anything else that we should discuss before we dive into the agenda? All right, so let's jump in. If folks have seen, there have been a number of comments on the Credentials Working Group Charter. So let me drop the link in here. In the comments to pay attention to are the ones by Ian Jacobs. Ian is a W3C staff contact. He is in charge of putting together the official Credentials Working Group Charter that will go up for vote at W3C. His mandate, at least, seems to be from the W3C CEO and the domain lead, which is the Web Payments Activity domain. Seems to be to try and make the credentials work as focused on payments as possible, narrowly focused on payments. So the first iteration of the charter, he said that it was going to be nearly impossible to get anything related to education, anything focused on education or healthcare through. That did mention payments as a first class citizen. We of course responded by saying, it's nice that you want to focus charter, but the payments folks have not been participating in doing the actual work, and they are not, they don't seem to be the organizations that are doing pilots and deployments of, experimental technology around this stuff today. So writing a charter that's focused almost exclusively on payments and not education and healthcare would probably be a deal breaker for the vast majority of people and organizations that have been involved in the credential CG to date. So there's a conflict on what exactly the charter is going to say. We are trying to work through that conflict by figuring out what the presentation at the Web Payments Face-to-Face in New York City is going to be about. So here is a link, and this is the first time this link's being shared. Credentials presentation for Web Payments Face-to-Face in NYC. I was asked to put together a presentation that focused primarily on payments credentials to bring the Web Payments Group up to speed, because they really have not been talking about credentials at all, except for the last 2 weeks or so. So they're way, way behind the curve as far as understanding what we're working on here. And that group believes that working on credentials for education or working on credentials for the healthcare industry are almost entirely different initiatives than working on credentials for payments. So they believe the solution would be different for each industry. They don't understand the kind of unified solution that we put together in this group. So there's a lot of education that needs to be done over the next 2 weeks with that group to make sure that that discussion doesn't go off the rails at the face-to-face in New York City. Okay, so basically where we are right now is trying to figure out a way to get a charter written such that it gets buy-in from W3C staff and the CEO and the membership that care about payments, but also does not alienate the education and healthcare sector. So what we need from this group is we need some fairly loud voices to or some fairly strong statements about what your organization believes the charter should focus on. So should you focus on payments, or do you want to focus on education or healthcare, or do you want to try and balance all of those? Right now, it's just me saying, what this group believes in general, or I'm trying to represent what this group believes in general, where we have consensus, which is the same solution should work across healthcare and education and finance. And we really need to build a broad coalition of organizations and market verticals that care about credentials, getting credentials right on the web. We should not focus on one market vertical like payments. But they're just hearing it from me, and they need to hear it from folks like Richard and Eric and Sunny and Nate, Badge Alliance and IMS Global and those kinds of folks.
Well,
Okay.
Manu, I one question for you is, would be who's really driving the sole focus on credentials and all this, or on web payments? I'll give you my perspective. I always thought this was attractive being inside the web payment structure because we can actually lead with deployments that are based on web payments thinking and get synergy between those. But we can do it in a context where there aren't nearly as many obstacles and there's more eager adopters ready to use it. The web payments has so many different, market forces and players and ideas about how to do it. That's why it's been stuck so far. So I thought our value proposition was this can be based on what generally would be acceptable for web payments, but we're going to pilot it with healthcare and education credentials such that you get a chance to see how it will actually work and build a path to where you can see how web payments could actually work more effectively using a credential-based approach. That's what I thought our pitch was. Am I
That
wrong?
is exactly it. No, you are 100% right. I mean, that's what I believed our pitch was. It's not. So that's what I told them. They
So
for
what's the answer to the first question then? Who's pushing back against that once this exposes about
Yes,
payments?
so the pushback is coming from the W3C staff and a couple of folks in the financial industry that believe that we need to focus on payments primarily because that's what the Web Payments Group is doing. So the pushback is coming from W3C staff, and I believe it's because they don't understand what we have here. They have not been keeping themselves up to date on what we've been doing, and they just don't understand the fundamental solution that we're proposing. And because of that, they don't understand how something that could be piloted in education could be reused in the financial industry because they believe they have this false perception that the two solutions are different. So for example, we need you to say that exact same thing to them as a representative from, let's say, ETS in the education sector. Like they need to hear it from somebody that's not me. And the same thing with, a credit trust. They need to hear it from a credit trust and not me.
Manu, this
So
is Nate.
hopefully that answers your question.
Should we be sharing these comments as comments on that charter document, or is there a more productive venue to bring these up?
For what I thought Ian was going to draft a web payment, a credentials charter document, and then this group, or specifically, Badge Alliance, ETS, a credit trust, and whoever else we could get, would review that document and send review comments in on it and say things like, this is far too focused on payments. We believe the best way to deploy this stuff is with people that are eager to deploy it now, which is in the education sector, right? But the last conversation I had with Ian about this, he basically said, "I don't even know if we're to the point where we can write a charter, right?" And the other thing that he said is he doesn't believe that the charter that we've put together would fly at W3C. And I think that was mostly coming from a limited understanding of, the work that we've done to date. So right now, I don't know exactly where we should put comments in because there's nothing to comment on other than these conversations I've been having with them, these kind of offline conversations I've been having with them. I think the wiki page may be one of the places that we could do it. I think the web payments, sorry, the credential CG charter that we put together with Ian's comments in it might be another place to put in feedback. I'm saying I don't know where feedback should go right now, but I'm starting to think that we really should have a call between Ian, the staff, the domain lead for payments, Eric Anderson at Bloomberg, and these are the people that have been pushing back, and Richard, Eric, and Sunny or Nate or both of you. Put everyone on the call and just get them to hear, this is we don't think this is the right direction from somebody other than me. Does that I think that's our best bet right now, and hopefully have that discussion later this week or early next week. Further thoughts on that? I mean, do folks feel like that would be the best way to at least get a very quick bit of feedback to them?
Well, I
Yeah, then
think that
maybe I
works.
can make myself available for such a call.
Okay, all right. So then
I
maybe
could do
what
it
I'll
on
do
Friday. I
Friday.
can't do it Thursday.
Okay.
And I could do it next
Friday's
week,
good.
but I'm in DC all for an all-day meeting on Thursday, so.
Okay. All right. So let's try for Friday. Nate, Sunny, would either of you be free on Friday?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'll try and arrange a call between all of us on Friday. Just and I would what time, Sunny?
Morning
You'll
would
be
be
able
better. Morning would be
to.
morning Pacific time would be
Yeah.
better. I could probably go as early as 10:30 Eastern.
Okay.
And I also just to kind of follow up a question, since you have the most experience with the folks at the W3C, can you tell us about like what are the precedences for the things where like a community group wants to form a charter and get formalized, and the W3 pushes back on scope? Like, I mean, is there a good amount of reasonable negotiation that happens, or
Yes.
okay?
Yeah, in fact, these things are chaotic in the beginning, but I have never seen W3C do something that's not reasonable. I mean, sorry, I take that back. There was one unreasonable thing that they did, and that led to the big fight between XHTML2 and HTML5 back in the early mid-2000s. But that's really it. Every other charter that I've seen, it's a discussion. And it takes a while to get all of the the kinks ironed out, but they listen. I mean, I want to be very clear. They are listening, and they always take a broad set of input into account. W3C wants to make sure that this that they are demonstrating one leadership, and two, that whatever they end up chartering is going to end up in success of some kind, and it's going to do it quickly rather than it being drawn out for 5 or 10 years. So that's what they care about. They care about the stuff being successful, and that's the reason that they're pushing back. They think that the best way to make this successful is to tie it to an activity that is is moving forward rapidly. So that's Yes. So hopefully, Sunny, that helps you feel a bit better. They're pushing back because they feel that there's a better way to go about this, and they haven't heard from the group of people that are not payments folks that feel like this would be better deployed in education and healthcare first, and then the payments folks kind of learn from that and deploy afterwards. Did that answer your question, Sonny? Might be
Sorry,
muted.
I was on mute. Yes, it did. Thank you so much, Manu.
Okay. Who's 609 area code?
I'm sorry, that was me. I was trying to dial in another number.
Okay. Okay, so what we're going to try and do is set up a call between everyone on Friday. I think, you know, everyone should have the expectation that it's going to be a fairly chaotic call. I don't think we're going to have much resolution at the end of the call, but it's just a, it's a kind of an information gathering exercise for W3C. I want them to hear the other voices that are deeply involved in the work.
Can I ask a question before
sure.
we wrap this part up? So you're kind of pitching this as an either or, and I always thought that our objective was to get a yes and, that there would be an umbrella effort working towards making payments make some sense as a credential or as a digital component of secure infrastructure, but that we would be riding along with that and be adding to it by having our own focused initiatives that would either unify at the technology level or methods or whatever we chose to make similar between them, but the credentials that we would be doing in education and healthcare would be symbiotic with what we're doing in payments. And I always thought those were going to go on at the same time rather than some sort of sequential approach where we start one place and work to the other. So I don't object. If there's really deep interest in somebody doing something constructive about payments and they have the ability to get going, I'd rather be part of their charter working in collaboration with them than necessarily fronting ourselves as someone who's opposed to them making progress and you have to start with us.
Yeah.
And I'm really not, you're not saying that, but I don't want to come off that way.
Yeah, so here's the big problem, I think. If you'll notice, there are no payments people in the credential CG.
Yeah, I know that problem, but I was
right.
about to say that. And if
right.
there's so many of them, where the hell are they?
Right, exactly. So I think we have a couple of people that are, they're a minority, but they're loud. What I'm concerned about is that the W3C launches something focused on payments and then nobody shows up, because all of the people that really care about this stuff are in education and healthcare. And so you're absolutely right, Richard. What we're trying to say is, you know, we're trying to do an and, you know, this stuff is important for payments and it is also very important for education and healthcare. Right. And we believe that the first set of deployments are going to happen in education and healthcare, and then finance is going to, you know, it's going to follow. So that I believe that's what the charter should be saying. I think that's our ideal, is to say, look, we've got three different working verticals that are affected deeply by credentials. We have a demonstration that the healthcare and education space really wants to move quickly on this, right? Because, you know, ETS and Badge Alliance and Accredited Trust and a number of other folks that we're talking with really want to see this stuff happen in the next, you know, year or two. And when it comes to the financial space, they're a little less hot to trot on getting stuff going, right? Their pain points aren't as big as the healthcare and education pain points. So, you know, flipping it so that payments has to be done first, and then, you know, maybe we'll do something with education and credentials seems to be approaching it from the wrong direction. So I think our ideal charter is, look, we care about credentials. We believe we can come up with the same solution for healthcare, education, and payments, and we can be fairly focused in doing it. We don't think that is a massive undertaking, because we believe the solution is aligned between the three industries. Now, if it turns out that it's not aligned, and we don't believe that, but let's say it's not aligned, then clearly we will have to focus on one or two of those industries over the other one. So hopefully
Tim Hogan is just on it. Hogan.
Hey, Tim. So does that make Richard? Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, it sounds right. I think we're sort of practicing for Friday a little bit here, and I would. I would add to that while in our space there are certainly people with ideas about how to advance this, and there's some proprietary point-to-point solutions that have, you know, vested interests. The vested interests in the financial space are, you know, Sears Towers and, you know, Freedom Centers compared to our little hovels around here, and they're battling it out to see which one of them's going to win, and the chances of them getting very far in standards, and they're still doing that, is a struggle. You can't go directly.
How does the standard apply to the business application? So if we're talking about a washer rather than its application on a fence or a car, or however it may be applied, What is the W3C's role in defining how that washer works, as opposed to defining what it may be used upon?
I'm not following, Tim.
Does that not make sense? So in the credentialing space, you're talking about its application for healthcare, for education, for all these other sectors.
Yep.
But isn't the credential itself just an extensible credential?
Yes.
What the credential is used for, it doesn't really matter, you know. It's a bit like a washer. It goes on the bolt. You can put that bolt. It's
got
a purpose,
you
know.
Okay, I got it. I thought you meant clothes washer, not something that goes on a bolt. Yeah.
No.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I mean, the we believe we have a generic solution that can work for financial industry as well as education and healthcare. It's a container for a credential, and it can be used across a variety of different market verticals.
To be clear, we believe that we have that solution, but there are other people in the web payments group that think that there are differences and that it won't work. And so there's some education that needs to happen to make sure everyone understands the solution we actually have.
Well, the other thing that I saw in the text in IRC was I wanted to understand where is the role of the W3C in defining how a technology may be used for any particular application. So where this conversation was about whether it be applied for payments or healthcare or education, why does that industry vertical matter in the discipline of defining a standard?
The only reason that it matters is because they believe that they will have the greatest amount of traction there. So all W3C charters try to be very, very tightly focused on solving a fairly narrow set of problems, mainly because they don't want the working groups to survive for more than 4 years at most. And in order to try and focus the work, they try and focus it on an industry that they believe will join the work and then deploy the technology. And they believe the financial industry would join the work and deploy the technology. And I think what we're saying is that we believe that the financial industry may join the work, but we are fairly certain that the education and healthcare sector will definitely join the work and definitely deploy the technology before financial services would. And so the W3C is not trying to say this technology should be used for this vertical. What they're trying to do is create a charter that will attract the right participants to, one, work on the standard, and two, deploy the standard once it is done.
Right. Now, the other question I have is, in the healthcare market, how does this relate to digital patient records, to private and sensitive information about individuals?
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
In terms of banking infrastructure or educational infrastructure, I think the personal risk is far less than misuse of medical information, for example.
Yeah, that's
so I just
right.
I question the use of the medical industry. I mean, my family is very highly involved with clinical services in Australia, so I got brought up with it. But I do question the particular reference to medical as a go-to-market sphere. I'm not saying that the technology should not have enormous applications in that market at maturity. But at the moment we're still at CG.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to healthcare records in version one. I think what we're talking about is professional licensing, like does a pharmacist's credentials, are they all up to date? Is a nurse's credentials up to date? It has more to do with workforce than it has to do with patient records. So I agree with you. I think patient records is kind of a minefield, and we probably should not try and focus on that in version 1.0.
So maybe the medical sector could be better phrased as something such as professional licenses,
yep,
or professional accreditations.
Yep.
Is there a way that we can define it that both provides the market density, in addition to iterative, acknowledging the there's a development path as we go down this track.
Yep.
Is that
I mean, I think you're right. We should be specific about what part of healthcare and what part of education.
Yeah, we should probably say something more like it's about professional licensing, particularly in the medical market sector.
I think that would work. Yeah, I think some sort of distinction that says that that we acknowledge the sensitivity of private data. You know,
Yeah, I think we can almost avoid that conversation entirely just by saying it's about professional licensing in healthcare.
Well, we have just as many. I'm not saying they're of equal value, or I wouldn't want to compare their value. But education is under, you know, various regimens of privacy, where we have, you know, I've run all of those kind of data centers, and I would say our data requirements, our security requirements, are no different than when I was trying to protect HIPAA data. Frankly, you know, there's not really a difference in the level of security we bring to it, because we're just, you know, people perceive that as just as awful to have their educational records revealed in some ways as their healthcare records, even though that may not be personally true for all of us, but the standards and the security levels end up getting implemented the same way.
Yep.
I think there's a particular difference between private data and public data, and I think someone's degree, you know, be able to provide a verified certificate that says that you have a degree is still within the realms of public data. And whilst I believe the technology in future will absolutely support private data, I think going for the jugular, there's some fields that are extremely sensitive, particularly given political and other spheres.
I agree. I mean, I think we're coming in at a lower level of risk, which is part of the attraction of starting where we're starting. Even though it has elements of the eventual need for higher security, it doesn't have as much risk as dealing with their healthcare records, money, or personal's private information about their particular credentials, like, you know, being a you know, having different accommodations you have to have at a workplace.
Yeah.
I also think that our role was. In our role in defining technology standards and technology solutions, there's also legislation and other things that need to be considered over time. And I'm not aware of the full scope of what is necessary as yet.
Yeah.
I think that may also affect
these are all
decisions.
Yep. So these are all very good, you know, discussions to have, and this is the stuff that I think is missing from the W3C staff discussions. They don't hear these sorts of discussions going on, and we just need to bring them kind of into the light. Okay, so let's we've got a couple more agenda items to get to today. This was mainly just a heads up to everyone. I think the action that came out of this is that I'll try to set up a meeting with W3C staff on Friday to discuss this, just so they hear other voices from the industry, and then we'll see where that goes.
Invite them to our Tuesday meeting as a backup.
You're right, and I should do that. The frustrating thing is that we have invited them multiple times to come to these meetings, and they have not. And now they're making decisions.
Tell them where else.
Yeah, right. okay, all right. So there we go. That's that. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. Basically, one of the points that they made, which was good, this was someone from the financial services sector. They said, I looked at the credentials use cases, and I didn't see very many payments use cases. In fact, the word payment shows up in there twice, and that's it. And they said that they absolutely will not support any kind of initiative that does not have a lot more payments related use cases in there. So I don't think that's a big deal. I think we should add those payments use cases. We should add a variety of payments use cases in there. Commenter gave us all the use cases that they want to see in the use cases document. So I will go and try to add those in at some point this week. Okay, anything else on the discussion between W3C on the credentials working group charter? No? not, we will jump on to the recruiting document, and this is not going to last, this is not going to be a very in-depth discussion, unless Brian or Joe are here. Okay, so we have a recruiting document for non-W3C members that has gone out, or sorry, that is being worked on right now. Joe has taken, this document is something that Brian Slenton put together. Joe Kaplan of Accredit Trust has taken it and reformatted it a bit to have a bit better, more concise pitch, and hopefully that is getting ready to be fairly close to done. 2 weeks ago, I sent out the recruiting document for W3C members. I think I ended up contacting 140 W3C members. We have heard back with definite positives from around 10 of them. We have another 10 that said that they will more than likely join the work, but they have to pass it by their corporate, you know, legal and their corporate folks before they can get back to us. That easily puts us at the 5% support that's needed to start a new credentials initiative. And this is our charter. It's the one that talked about education and payments and the more balanced charter. And we had a number of large W3C organizations look at it and said that they were very, very happy to support that. But that doesn't mean our work's done. It just means that we've met the minimum bar. We're probably going to meet the minimum bar. Like I said, out of the 140, only around 20 have responded, which means that there are many, many more that didn't respond for some reason or another. And what I think I'd like to do is give those names to other folks in the group that can do follow-up, to say, hey, you know, I'm also from the Credential CG. We're interested in hearing your feedback, whether it's positive or negative. We need to hear back from you, so please, you know, take a look. If it dropped off in your inbox, please look at it again and let us know what you're thinking. The one downside with a lot of W3C advisory committee folks, these are the contacts, W3C corporate contacts, is that they're incredibly overworked and they have a hard time responding to emails in general. Richard, I don't know if there's someone on your team that could do some follow-up. Eric, I don't know if there's someone on your team that could do some follow-up. Maybe Joe. And then we might have a couple of people in our organization do.
Well, it will be a combination between me and Rob.
Okay. All right.
I would likely be taking the lead on most of this.
Okay. All right. So we might take like 20 organizations and divvy those out to each group and have them follow up again.
I have like two or three people who volunteered to do some of the recruiting. So,
okay.
You know, if this is the maybes or the noes, you're saying? This is the 10 that are the maybes?
They're the ones that didn't get back to us.
Didn't respond.
All right,
so it's 120 or so we didn't hear from. Okay.
Yep.
Sure. We could. I have people. Send it to me. I'll see if we can assign it to a few.
Great. Fantastic. Thank you. Okay. I don't think that there's anything else in recruiting. Anybody else have anything else in recruiting?
I've been out in the Melbourne market, Melbourne, Australia, and there's certainly some interest. I'm actively following up. I've been working with Manu and Eric on to see about how to progress things.
Hey, Tim, if you could make sure that they fill out the questionnaire, that would be fantastic, because that's the document that we need to show W3C management that we have enough support.
I unfortunately haven't spent enough time in having a look at it. I think the critical thing that I think that might be useful for you is that if we can get analysis of their business problems in a way that shows that credentials can, you know, how credentials can solve some of their business problems, I guess.
Yeah. Well, so I think we have some of those documents already. The thing that we need, the thing that W3, the thing that we're missing right now our yep. organization saying, yes, I will join the work in or W3C to work on credentials.
Okay.
Because if we don't yep. have cool. that, we're not going to have a group.
I understand.
Okay, great, thanks. Anything else on recruiting before we move on? Okay, really quick, the credential management API. We have been talking with the Web Application Security Group. The email thread is up to 132 emails, going back and forth on various things. The chair stepped in and basically said that they don't feel that it's worth pursuing. The type of credential exchange that we're outlining is far more involved and delicate than what they wanted to touch. Therefore, the chair, speaking in his chair capacity, didn't feel that we needed to continue to – he didn't see a resolution on the horizon. The editor of the specification, the credential management API specification, came in and asked us for a set of changes, a further set of changes, concrete changes to the web IDL, which is basically IDL is the interface definition language, basically the what developers would program to, because we've been saying there. You don't need a large set of changes. It should be a fairly small set of changes to align with what we're doing. And so he kind of contradicted what the chair was saying, and he wanted to know what the changes were. And then the chair then backpedaled a bit and said, if you guys are making progress, go ahead and continue to make progress. I'm not as upbeat about the about what's going to happen. I think they are going to say that what we want to accomplish is better accomplished with a different API. And because of that, we're going to have to effectively recreate the API that they have. But to push back, we basically said, okay, well, you know, you have said your API is extensible. We have tried to extend it, and your response has been, well, extensible, but not in the way you want it to be extended, which is kind of a strange argument for them to make. So we've basically said, fine, then take the extensibility portions out of it, because, you know, this is an obvious extension to it, and if you know, it can't support the use case that we're putting forward. We don't really know of any other use cases, extension use cases, that would fit in the model that you have. The other question that we raised is, does the world really need a password manager API? Because all the browsers already have those built into them, and there are things like 1Pass and LastPass in the Chrome password manager and Firefox password manager. So what benefit is this API really going to do? They basically said there's a small benefit, but there's currently a debate about how much of a benefit there could be. Okay, so the conversation's ongoing. It's not going as well as we would have hoped, but the other good thing is that they're not staking a claim to credentials in the way that we're talking about them. And we could potentially come to a conclusion on renaming their API to basically a login manager API. Okay, any questions on credential management API? Okay, so the end result for us is that we were hoping to chop about a year and a half of work off of having to define a browser-based API, but it looks like we're going to have to do that work anyway, because the group is not chartered to work on the type of broad credentials that we're talking about in this group. The Web AppSec group is not chartered to work on the type of credentials that we're talking about in this group. Yeah, so that's that. Use cases is up next. Nate, would you like to give us an update on use cases?
Sure. So I think Sunny, Carrie, and I all took looks at this document over the last week, and added little in there. I went through over the last couple days and accepted a good handful of changes that I felt were non-controversial and added a few more. So there are some, you know, various suggestions to look at in the document. And then I took a stab at writing in the very last of the document, writing up one of those sections of credentials in the real world, like what does this look like? And I went through a workforce training scenario, went through all the different phases. One thing I noticed from the web payments format that I was following is that it included all of the different phases, and then when one wasn't used in the particular example, it just had a little sentence that said not applicable to this use case. Is that an approach that you think should be copied here?
I think so. I mean, just to make it crystal clear that we didn't forget something.
Cool. Okay, and then in this workforce training credentials in the real world section at the end of the document, if folks aren't looking at it yet, some of the phases are slightly out of order they're in different orders depending on what the actual use case is. Like in this case, endorsing came before consuming, which sometimes maybe that would be in the opposite order, or they, you know, phases would happen multiple times. The person who wants to endorse has to go through some consuming phases in order to do the endorsement. So maybe in other scenarios farther down the page that we haven't written yet, maybe those would appear in slightly different orders. But I don't think it will be very confusing for a reader.
Yep, I agree. This is fantastic work, Nate. This is great. Thank you so much for working on it, because this is really fleshing out the document, putting stuff like that in there.
Right, and I thought we had renamed phases to sort of operations in this work because the order can change.
Oh yes, you're correct. I was just using the word phase. I don't think the word phase appears in the actual document anywhere anymore.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it's fine if they're going to be slightly out of in different orders, because that's just that better models how the credentials work happens.
Cool. I'm trying to remember if I had any other particular questions. One thing, there was a couple places where expiration and revoking were kind of conflated together, and I think those are separate entirely. Because I think expiration is sort of a byproduct of issuing when an expiration date is included in the credential, whereas revoking is a complete separate operation that an issuer undertakes to cancel a credential that otherwise would have been valid.
Right. Yeah, I saw that. So you split those into two separate things?
One of the instances got resolved, and the other one is still in the document with a comment, but, with the approval of the group, we'll resolve that as well.
Okay.
And then could we talk a little bit real quick just about possible web payments use cases, like what to integrate? The one idea that I had, something that I think isn't quite well enough represented in the document so far, is the operation around confirming that the person whose identifier is the target of the credential is actually the person who's presenting it to you. I think that is the sort of represents the know your customer use case. And so I think we probably write up something around that, but I think I'm not sure if it would be a separate operation than consuming, or if it's just a phase within the consuming operation, or if it's just what would we call those, a step in the consuming operation?
Yeah. So I think right now, at least the way the spec is written, it is a step in the consuming operation, such that when you transmit a credential from the your credential vault or your curator, a part of transmitting the credential has you digitally countersign the credential. So if you're sending it to monster.com, you're sending a credential to monster.com, the first signature on that credential is from the issuer, and then the second signature is from you, the recipient, and that establishes that you, the recipient, one, authorized its transmission, and two, you have the private key associated with the identity that got that credential. So it's a step in the operation, in the consumption operation.
How about digital receipts? So you go to a retailer and you purchase a range of products and you obtain a digital receipt that includes warranty information and whatever else. How does that interact with the credential issuing process?
So I think, at least in the web payments group, we're thinking of digital receipts as not a credential. It is another piece of information that has digital signature on it. So I don't think right now there's no overlap. I think as far as web payments are concerned, I think coupons and loyalty cards are credentials, as long as they're not payment instruments. So if it's something that you scan to give you discounts on what you're buying, or it's basically if it's something that you present to the merchant that ends up giving you a discount on what you're buying, or points of some kind, then that can be viewed as a credential.
So there's no is I there a loyalty use case in here? So if there's loyalty and there's coupons, is that right? They're two
That's
use
correct.
Cases?
Yep, correct. And we don't have those in here, I don't think.
No.
No, we don't have loyalty.
Manu, I thought, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't there two other components to this, that you have your basic signed component that allows you to have the assurance that there's a transmission and, fidelity, and that it came from, a source that was related to the credentials issuance and it's controlled by them. I get
right.
that part. I thought the other part was the metadata that could be contained within the envelope that is additional identifier information that could be related to identity management. And then
yeah.
I also thought you were speccing that you could associate it with an identity credential then, so that the two could be consumed in conference, in collaboration with each other, so that they could reinforce each other. Are all three of those part of this or not?
Yes. Yeah. Well. Yeah. All three of the things that you said are correct. I don't know if we really have those in the use cases yet. And we definitely do not have a number of the payments use cases in there. So, for example, this link I'm going to put in IRC use cases. There are a number of use cases in here that we don't have, payments-related use cases that we don't have in there. And they're also – let me look at the web payments.
How about things that require licenses, such as guns or cars or things like that?
Yeah, so that's another payments use case. Yep, we've got other web payments use cases. So, Nate, there are other web payments use cases there in a really, really old document.
I remember going through it some time ago.
Actually, you know what? That's not correct. It's the OpenCred. It's the OpenCred one, I think, has the payments use cases. Okay. So here are a couple of credentials.
Well, the other thing is, how about another one might be someone who's pitching a creative work. So they're an ad agency or something, pitching an idea to a customer. And so they may want to use a credential to provide some sort of priority date around an economic agreement that related to acceptance. And use
yep.
of that concept,
So that is a use of a credential in a commercial transaction of some kind to establish ownership over intellectual property. So yes.
Yeah.
So all of these are good. The feedback, the big feedback that we got from the payments folks is, I don't see any payments use cases in here in your credentials use cases document. So there's that. Eric in IRC is asking, is the web payments working group addressing other financial instruments such as stocks and bonds? Not anytime soon, not in version 1.0, but yes, absolutely, those things require you to be heavily credentialed in a variety of different you know, for a variety of different reasons. So people that are doing stocks, the stock traders need to be properly licensed before they can execute transactions. Same thing with bond traders. If you're sending a lot of money overseas, like more than $10,000, you need to submit know your customer information, like your name, social security number, where you bank, home address, things like that, both for the sender and the receiver. So yeah, we need to basically, this is mostly for Nate and Sunny and Carrie, we need to make sure that we integrate these use cases into our use cases documents so that we don't have that miscommunication where people don't think that we care about payments in the credential CG.
Mm. I think that certainly is a failing. I mean, I remember it being all there, so.
Yeah.
That's all right. We'll catch up on that. We've done it before. So,
Manu, this is Sunny. I just wanted to kind of say that I'm working with Nate and Carrie on the use case document, but all three of us, our strengths and our kind of domain knowledge focused on credentials and education. So while we will take a look at the links that you provided for the payments use cases, I definitely think that there should be somebody who has domain knowledge or vested interest in payments use cases of credentials to kind of drive or lead a lot of that work.
Yeah, excellent point. Why don't I do that? Because I've been working on a lot of the payments use cases. So I will take the action to migrate those things into the document. Do you think that would work better, Sunny?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, and Nate, Carrie, and I are happy to continue to work on it and put it together. But I definitely think somebody with the payment experience should be taking a look at all those use cases for sure.
Okay. All right. We'll do.
I'm of course up to help where I can.
Great. Thanks, Tim. Yeah. So Tim, if you see anything, in I think the documents, it's a Google Doc, so you can just suggest changes, and we can either have a discussion.
Is there one about buying a car? So for example, you buy a motor vehicle, and when you buy that motor vehicle, you may be able to transfer the license information. Go across to your credential.
No, there isn't one. I don't think that there's a buying any kind of motor vehicle use case in there where you have a
license. So, I mean, that's the type of product where you've got a government control over it.
Yep.
And usually you'd need to go into a road traffic authority or something like that to be able to submit the paperwork.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And we just don't have that. We don't have a use case like that covered there.
Yeah.
I think the other thing to make sure everyone understands about the use cases is just because we have a use case in there doesn't mean that we have to implement all of those use cases in version 1.0. In the first version, we are going to pick a high priority set of use cases and implement those. And then version 2 is going to implement the next set and so on and so forth. Okay, we have 2 minutes left in the call. Are there any other questions or concerns about the use cases? Okay. Any other business for today? Anything else that we should be aware of before the call next week? Okay. I'm going to schedule that call for Friday with the W3C folks. Hopefully a number of us will chat again on Friday with them. Thanks everyone for the call today, and we'll chat again. Some of us will chat again on Friday, and then the rest of us will meet again next Tuesday at the same time. Thanks all. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.